Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And it is a great word this morning. It is a great word. And I am grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be a daughter of the Most High God and given this opportunity and assignment to read the word and study the word with you as we do it together. Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning. And we're just going to pray and get ready and get right into the word, Father God in heaven. We come to you this morning grateful for this beautiful day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it, Lord, for you gave us an opportunity for a do-over. We're able to wake up this morning, clothed in our right mind, ready to move forward through this day and forward through your word. Lord God, let your word permeate our hearts, our minds, our soul. And Lord, as it permeates our minds, our hearts, our soul, we ask you, Lord God, to increase as I decrease, Lord God, let this humble words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. I cannot do this without you, Father. And so I ask you, Lord, to take control and lead and guide this word and this message this morning, that someone will be saved, someone will be set free, someone will feel your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. And the word that God gave me this day, today is coming out of 1 Chronicles. And it is simply this. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God, which is what David told his son Solomon and what God put in my heart, that we must seek him. We must seek God. We must set our heart and our soul on God to seek him, to have more time with him. You know, this morning, during my time that I do different research, and this morning I was researching the Ark of the Covenant, which is, you know, different archaeologists claim different things. One claim it's buried under the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and others say it's in Ethiopia, in Aksum. We don't know where it is because God is not going to let you know until he wants you to know. That's what is so interesting and wonderful about God, is that God loves his children. And there's just some things mankind is not ready for. This modern man is not ready for ancient wonders of God. Because we're so busy wanting, we got to be able to touch and feel and see it, where faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. We have lost faith. And we need to get it back. Because God is faithful. And all he wants us to do is believe. So let's get started in our word this morning. And we are in for today, June the 29th. We have one more day of this month, y'all. And the word is this, 1 Chronicles chapter 21 through chapter 22, verse 19 is what I'll be reading in the Old Testament. If you'd like to write these scriptures down, 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Verse 1 through chapter 22, verse 19. Psalm 79, verses 34 through 39. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 1 through 2. And Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 29, which is basically the book of Acts chapter 9. So let's get started in our word this morning. And it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, and also, I am coming out of the New King James Version of the Bible. And the word I'm coming from when I say life lessons, life questions, I believe life lessons, life questions, life examples. Those are all coming from Dr. Charles Stanley, who is the author of the commentary of this word, and it is the Life Principles Daily Bible, biblical principles for each day of the year. And our goal is, this is the word that God gave me to use for this year, and our goal is to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and pray that we all get something from it, and that makes us want to study the word ourselves even more closely. So let's get started, family. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, may the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David. All Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 420,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he struck Israel. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their face. And David said to God, was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done evil indeed. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord, my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued. Therefore, the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up, the word of Gad, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord. Now Ornan turned and saw the angel and his four sons who were with him hid themselves. But Ornan continued threshing wheat. So David came to Ornan, and Ornan looked and saw David, and he went out from the threshing floor and bowed before David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. You shall grant it to me at the full price, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. But Ornan said to David, take it to yourself and let my lord the king do what is good in his eyes. Look, also I also give you the oxen for burnt offerings, the threshing implements for wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all. Then David said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price, for I will not take what is yours. For the Lord not offer burnt offerings with that which costs me nothing. We can't give free to God. We got to give what we work for. You know, your tithes you work for. It's not given to you free of charge. You got to give God what you pay full price for. Our soul is God's. Our mind is God's. Every part of us belongs to God. And nobody can take who you are. Nobody can diminish your blessings. You are God. You are who God says you are. And you are his child because you've been grafted in if you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and have him as your personal Savior. And as we continue, David told this man, I'm going to give you full price. And David built an altar. Let me say what it goes back to verse 25. So David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the place. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offering. So the Lord commanded the angel, and he returned his sword to its sleeve. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, he sacrificed there for the tabernacle of the Lord and the altar of the burnt offerings, which Moses had made in the wilderness, were at the time at the high place in Gibeon. But David could not go to inquire of God, for he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. So David could see the angel. Ornan could see the angel. Don't play with God or his angels. We don't know what we're dealing with. Don't mess with God. Don't play games with God. Because God sees everything, knows everything, and you will be messed up. Don't mess with God. Chapter 22 of 1 Chronicles. And it says, then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of burnt offerings for Israel. So David commanded to gather the aliens who were in the land of Israel, and he appointed masons to cut on stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gates, for the joints and the bronze he abandoned beyond in abundance beyond measure, cedar trees in abundance for the Sidonians, and those from Tyre brought from much cedar wood to David. Now David says, Solomon, he's getting Solomon prepared. You know, fathers need to talk to their sons, and mothers need to talk to their daughters to prepare them for when they may not be here anymore. These are the things I need you to do. And David knows that his time will come, but he knows that he wants this temple built for God. Not for himself. It was not any self-aggrandizement in David to do what he did for God. And we have to have that same kind of spirit. We've got to seek God. We got to give him our heart, our mind, our spirit. We got to give God every part of us. As we seek him, you know, we seek the Lord. And as Solomon told David, as David told Solomon, then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, you have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God as he said to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, not be dismayed. Joshua 1:9. He's telling them right now, indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1 million talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond measure, for it is so abundant. I have prepared timber and stone also, and you may add to them. Moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance, woodsmen and stone cutters and all types of skillful men for every kind of work of gold and silver and bronze and iron. There is no limit. Arise and begin working, and the Lord be with you. David also commanded all of the leaders of Israel to help Solomon, his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? Hallelujah, because isn't that what God told us, to be strong and courageous, that he would be with us wherever we go? Did his word tell us that he will never leave us or forsake us? And David is reminding the people in leadership who God is. And he's telling them right now. And I'm going to say one more time, verse 17, starting at 22nd chapter 22, verse 17. David also commanded all the leaders, not some of the leaders, but all of the leaders of Israel to help Solomon, his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And I say to you this morning, if you are having issues, is not the Lord your God with you? Wherever we go, he is with us. When I start going into my pity party, having my moments, I have to remind myself, Lord, and speak it. Lord, you said you will never leave me or forsake me. Lord, you said you would be with me wherever I go. Lord, I need you to cover me and my family. I need you to cover my friends and extended family. I need you, Lord. You said you are with us. I need you, Lord, to give them peace of mind. I need you, Lord, to give them strength. I need you, Lord, to heal their bodies, minds, and spirits. We got to start calling out and speaking to God because he is there. Lord, I need your help to get this or that in order. God hears our prayers. And as we continue, it says, is not the Lord your God with you? I say it again. And has he not given you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into the hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart, and I say this is the title of our word this morning. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. And I say that to each and every person listening this morning. Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. I'm setting my heart and my soul to seek the Lord God. Therefore, arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy articles of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord. And some life lessons from chapter 21 and 22 of First Chronicles. Chapter 21, verse 14. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. David took this census on military strength, apart from the divine commandment. He slipped in his devotion, and it cost him greatly. The sin of one man, David, caused the death of 70,000 Israelites. God's people can never justify their sin by saying it affects only themselves. Sin has a way of injuring everyone it touches. Until the day we die, we must guard our heart. And the word he's coming from is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And we're going to go over there to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And as I'm going to Proverbs, I just want to give you another scripture. And you can write it down and go and look at the whole word in context. Psalms 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. And that's who we are. That word was for somebody. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. I'm praying that. I'm testifying that. I'm believing that. And I'm going to say, your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hand. In other words, Lord, do not forsake me. We got to start praying the word of God. Find a word that touches your heart. Because if it touches your heart, that's the word that God sent just for you. This is what the word of God says. And this is, a psalm of wisdom. I'm sorry, a proverb of wisdom. And it says this in verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not return to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. I don't know who that was for, but that's where God sent me. And that is Proverbs chapter 4. And I would just say, read it all whenever you get an opportunity. Read the whole chapter. We've read it already on this blog, but it is always good to look and study the word of God. But verse 23 is the verse that God gave Dr. Stanley, and I give to you. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And as Dr. Stanley said, until the day we die, we must guard our hearts. First Chronicles chapter 21, verse 16. David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven. At select times and places, God lifts the curtain that obscures our vision of spiritual realities. And we see clearly what he is up to, but he remains active even when we do not see. What a word. And then again, as we go into First Chronicles chapter 22, verse 19. Now set, this is the title of our lesson this morning. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. That's a highlightable. That's one you need to mark in your word. You need to set that aside as always, having it as one of your go-to scriptures. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. And that's when you pray, Lord, I will set my heart and my soul to seek more of you. And we got to do it. Don't just talk the talk. We got to start walking the walk. It's time to get out of the four walls. It's time to go to work. I say this all the time. I think I've said it enough that one of our young men the message, and he preached it like nobody's business on Sunday. I was so proud. I didn't know what to do. And I just shout out to Brother Jonathan this morning, because he has been a faithful listener since day one. He was one of my first listeners when I first started way back in the day on New Beginnings with Diane Grimble Ministries. So I thank Brother Jonathan. And I think I rubbed off on him because he got to preach and it's time to go to work. And I felt like running around the church because he preached the word. I tell you, he preached that word. So I say to you, as I say daily, it's time to go to work, family. And the word of God tells us, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. We are to encourage one another to seek the Lord with all our heart and soul. And we're going to go over to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. And I'm going to go actually back up to verse 12. And it says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Why it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. And we know what that was. For we, having heard, rebelled. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But those who did not obey. So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. We got to know who we belong to, and we got to believe. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Whenever you're going through, don't take it to the phone, take it to the throne. We got to learn how to take all our problems to God. But then you got to tell your problems about your God. Let me tell you, whatever it may be, my daddy God is stronger than you. Because understand, David would not have thought about the senses. But again, what did it say? Who came in? I'm going to say that one more time. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. The devil made him do it. Is for real in this case. The devil made him do it. And we got to pray daily, Lord, protect my mind, protect my spirit from the wiles of the enemy. Because he will have you all twisted up where you won't know your left from your right. You're up from your down. You have you so confused that you won't even know your mama name. We got to pray every day for the Lord to keep us covered under the blood of Jesus. Because the enemy even came to David, who God loved and who loved God, who obeyed God, who repented when he messed up. He always cleaned up. And if the enemy will go after a David, what he tempted him with Bathsheba, didn't he? Did all kind of, the enemy's always there, lurking in the background. And we got to be strong and courageous, trusting in the Lord and reminding and saying, we don't have to remind, but saying to God, his word, you said you never leave me or forsake me. Lord, I'm believing in you. I'm believing that you're here. I'm asking you to give me a calm mind and a righteous spirit. Lord, I'm asking you to protect me from all evil. I'm asking you to watch over me from all dangers, seen and unseen. Lord, I'm believing and trusting in you because you said you are with me wherever I go. You said to be strong and courageous. Lord, I'm being strong and courageous. We got to talk to God like we talk to each other. Take it to the throne and not to the phone. Your phone should be going directly to God. Your talk should be going directly to God. People can't help you, but God surely can. You know, we learn so hard. It's such a hard thing to learn that you got to trust God and not trust in your girlfriend, your mama and them. You got to trust, you know, don't call mama, call God. Because mama can only do what God allows her to do. But God can do everything. Trust God. Psalm 78, verses 34 through 39. When he slew them, then they sought him. And they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattened him with their mouth. They flattered him with their mouth. I'm going to read that again. Verse 20, 35, because this is so important. And it says this. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth and they lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 1 through 2. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to answer, to anger, sins against his own life. I'm going to read that again. The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. Why? Because a king can have you executed. And as we go back to Psalm 78, verse 38, he being full of compassion forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. And we're going to go over to Psalms 103. So please join me again. I said this is Bible study. And let's go together to Psalms. I love the book of Psalms and I love the book of Proverbs. If you need a prayer to get through, just go to Psalms. And God, his prayers coming out of every direction, because I can tell you this, David prayed. David prayed. He might have been a hot mess and did some horrible stuff, but I tell you one thing, he loved God and he asked for forgiveness and God gave it to him. He loved God and God loved David. And we got to love God too. And this is what it says in Psalms 103. And we're going over to verse 10. Actually, we're going to go back up because y'all know how I'm about context. We're going to go up to verse number 6. And it says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. I'm saying that again. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is a merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. But I know this one word that is right there. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Understand, God's got your back. He's got your back. He's got you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. The enemy cannot touch what is God's anointed. He will try, just like he just did with David. Had David sinned, he will have us sin. You wonder why you're doing what you're doing, and you're like, oh, why did I do that? Lord, I don't get it. Why did I do that? That was a bonehead mistake. That was wrong. Why did I do that? The enemy comes at you, and my pastor says it all the time, and it's so true. I have felt it. I have lived it. The enemy comes before or after a move of God. To David, came before a move of God. Sometimes a move of God is not sweet and loving and kind, but a move of God nevertheless. Because God does not play. Don't get it twisted. He is a loving God, but he is also a righteous. And he can be something else. God don't play. You know, and I tell you, touch not God's anointed and do his prophets no harm. You got to remember that word. If nothing else, you remember from Proverbs 18, that is one word to remember. You know, and if you're seeking a husband, understand also in Proverbs chapter 18, it says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor with the Lord. Understand, it didn't say a woman who found a man. It says a man who finds a wife. So you are the wife. You are not girlfriend. You are not Pookie down the street. That is, and he's your baby daddy. No, we got to talk the right thing and do the right thing. Men who find wives find favor with Lord. You know, not baby mamas. We got to get into the word, and we got to start teaching our children the word of God. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 21. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus. Saul is about to get a rude awakening, ain't he? So that he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And no, it didn't say Christians, did it? It said who were of the way. For Jesus is the way, the end, the truth, and the life. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So they were members of the way. And as we continue, it says, And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And then the Lord said, I am, there's I am in there. Y'all caught that right. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with them stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there, and he was 3 days without sight. I once was blind, but now I see. He has to be blind in order to see who Jesus is. He had to be blind to know he was doing wrong, because he was all about what the statutes and the law say and this and that, because he was a Pharisee, which means he was a theologian. He was all about what theology said and not what thus says the Lord God. And this is what he said. Now, there is a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is free. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting this hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, did it say 2 days from now, 3 days from now, next week? No, it said immediately there fell from the eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples of Damascus. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them abound? What a word. Bring them bound to the chief priest. So they're like, we were scared of him. He's supposed to be a bad guy. What's he doing preaching the gospel? What's he doing saying that Jesus is the Son of God? Because he got converted. And he got converted on that road to Damascus where he once was blind. But now he sees. And as we go to some life lessons, and then we're wrapping it up. The life lesson is this. Acts chapter 9, verse 11. Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. The Lord gave Ananias an assignment, and he did not particularly like. He objected that Saul was a dangerous man. But the Lord repeated his command to go, unlike Jonah, long before Ananias obeyed, and the church got a new apostle. Sure did, because Paul wrote most of the New Testament. But God can use anyone to do great and miraculous things. And the last thing I have is a life example, how God uses authority to get our attention. Any instructor can tell you, the first goal of a teacher is to get a student's attention. You can't teach someone who isn't paying attention. Just so the Lord sometimes uses adversity in our lives to cause us to pay attention to him in a new way. And I say this, as I put a pen here, God, we think we're going through and we wonder, Lord, why am I going through? Lord, I can't handle all this. It is to get our attention. He got my attention. Because the Lord has made a way out of no way. But he has got my attention. And it goes on to tell us, that's what happened to Saul of Tarsus. As he traveled to Damascus, where he intended to bring great persecution upon the Christians in the city, the scripture tells us that Saul was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Saul's murderous intent nearly consumed him. He was so angry he was going to get them folks of the way, who they think they are, talking about that this upstart prophet, this upstart rabbi is a son of God. Who are they to say he's the son of God? The son of God is coming. Messiah is coming. That can't be him, because he didn't come like we thought he was going to come, and he didn't look like we thought he was going to look. So it can't be him. That's the attitude. When things are not what you expect, then you want to act like it don't exist and that it's not what it should be. But everything has a purpose and a reason. And our Savior coming to this earth, doing what he did, bringing these people out of bondage into freedom. What a mighty God we serve. And as I continue in this word of Dr. Stanley, you know, Saul had his eyes on the prize of getting those people. But God had other plans for Saul. And this is what it said, but God got Saul's attention in a way he never expected. He sent Paul crashing to the ground with a blazing light and instructed him to enter the city. There, wait for instructions. When Paul opened his eyes, he found himself blind. And I say when Saul, because he was not Paul yet. He was Saul until he got his sight back. And it goes on to say, and had to ask others to lead him by the hand into the city. Because he was going in. He was going to get him. I got my instructions. I got my notes. I got my introductions. I got everything I need. I'm going to get them people. Wrong. That's all I can say is, say it with me, y'all. Wrong. Saul got a rude awakening. He lost his sight. He lost his everything as he was walking. And Jesus had to speak to him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he's like, and he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Is it hard for you to kick against the Lord? He's like, Now, how you feeling? And let's continue, because like I said, I get all giddied up for this word. And it says, Saul definitely received a wake-up call from the Lord that day. In one unforeseen moment, God gained Saul's undivided attention, striking him with the adversity of blindness and no doubt humiliating him in front of his traveling companions, for he groveled in the dust. Jesus brought him to his knees. But God had saw exactly where he wanted him. Saul felt more than ready to listen when the Lord asked, why are you persecuting me? Up to that point, Saul had no idea he was persecuting the Lord. He thought doing the Lord a favor by ridding the world of Christians. And I like to say, ridding the world of the way. And it says, a period of intense adversity resulted in a complete turnaround for Saul. Within a matter of days, he was proclaiming Jesus in the synagogue. Talk about a changed soul. But it took temporary blindness and humiliation to get Saul's attention. It was certainly worth it. For though Saul, known to us as Paul the Apostle, the gospel expanded and churches grew across the Roman world. Don't delay in responding to the Lord. When he makes a move to get your attention, respond quickly and humbly and listen for what he has to say. And that is our word this morning. Church announcement. We will be broadcasting tomorrow at 6 o'clock, early from 6 to 7, instead of our normal 7 to 8. I have an appointment that I must be at tomorrow at 8 o'clock. So we are going to be an hour earlier. So one more time, set your clocks. We'll be at 6 a.m. on tomorrow, 6 to 7. And I do thank you all for bearing with me for our different changes in time. And we'll have, I think, another time change for a day next week. But I'll let you know in advance. If not, I will do another church announcement. So again, Blog Talk Radio tomorrow morning will be at 6 a.m. instead of 7. So 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. will be the time of the show on tomorrow. So please join me. And again, I thank you all for listening. Before we get out of here again, a word from my sister in Christ. And it is this. Whew, I love this word. She always comes right where everything that we have that we're talking about, God gives her a word to just wrap it up. And the wrap up this morning is this. Good morning. Don't let anyone set you off today. Peace. Remember, God is on your side. Have a terrific Tuesday. God is always there. He was there in the beginning. He will there be there now. He will be there in the end. Don't let anyone set you off today. Be at peace. And remember, God is on your side. And that is all I have this morning. If there's anyone that has a word that God has given them and would like to speak, call 293-943-3597. Again, that's 213-943-3597 to speak to the host. And if we have no callers wanting to speak, I say to you this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed day, and we have a caller. Caller 4727. Good morning, Mother. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Minister Bridget. It's just that I tried to get on this line. My phone ain't working right, but it's always a joy and a pleasure to listen to you in the morning. And I just pray that God continues to multiply you and give you what you stand in the need of each and every day. So it's just a joy and a pleasure. And I thank God for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
In Jesus' name I pray for you as well, Mother. I love you and thank God for you. You are a rock of this broadcast. And I can do it. I do it with you and I do it for you. And I thank God that he has put you in my life. Have a blessed day, Mother Rita. We love you. I'm moving forward, and we thank God for you. And as we have just a minute or two left, would you pray us out this morning?
As you say every morning, may the Lord walk between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In the blessed name, I pray over you and yours. You have a blessed and glorious day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mother. We love you. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Join me tomorrow morning at 6. Keep me in prayer. I have a long day tomorrow, so please keep me in prayer. As you pray for me, I will be praying for you. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. It's time to go to work.
Amen.